Randall Kennedy is a Harvard Law professor. He's also the author of a book called Interracial Intimacies: Sex, Marriage, Identity, and Adoption. Kennedy told Steve Paulson the true story of Jacqueline Henley.
What happened in brief is that in 1952, a white woman in New Orleans gave birth to a child. And as soon as this woman gave birth, she was overcome by a stroke, which left her paralyzed and speechless. The birth mother's sister takes the child home and commits herself to raising the child as her own. But the child starts turning darker day by day. And remember what I said, this is early 1950s, New Orleans, Louisiana. Neighbors complain, and the sister takes the child to New Orleans authorities and says, listen, I have to surrender this child. I have to abandon this child because my neighbors are complaining. They think that the biological father of the child was a Negro, and they're not going to stand for it. At that point, a black couple seeks to adopt the child. And everything looks like it's going to be okay. It's moving forward. But then it is found that the child has white stamped on her birth certificate.
In other words, the black couple is not going to be able to adopt this child.
That's right, because there was a law in Louisiana that expressly prohibited adoption across the race line. Most Jim Crow states did not have such laws, probably because legislators thought that there was no need for it. I mean, it was so inconceivable that anyone would adopt across the race line that most places didn't think that they had to pass such laws. But Louisiana, being particularly punctilious in these manners, did have such a law. And so the black couple that sought to adopt said, well, let's just change the birth certificate. But the Louisiana authorities would not allow the birth certificate to be changed because under Louisiana law, to change the race on someone's birth certificate required there being certainty as to the person's race. And here there was not certainty with respect to the race of this little girl because nobody knew who the biological father was. So the black couple was prevented from adopting this child. She was taken from the black couple. She was put into an orphanage, a black orphanage, not a white orphanage, because though she was legally deemed to be white, the state had special dispensation to put her in a black orphanage. That's what I read. I mean, that was the end of the reported case in the law reports. Mm-hmm. And this case really haunted me because I thought, here's this child around my age who was really condemned to legal and racial limbo in the early 1950s.
And the black couple even took this case to court, but as it turned out, they were not allowed to adopt Jacqueline Henley.
That's right.
Now, this happened 50 years ago. Is interracial adoption still such a contentious issue?
Oh, yes. It's a very controversial subject. The law has changed. So in the mid-1990s, the Congress of the United States passed two statutes, one in 1994, then a strengthening amendment in 1996 that prohibits race matching, that is to say, the policy of preferring children of a given race to be raised adoptively by adults of the same race. The Congress of the United States prohibited that by any agency taking money from the federal government.
But it's still going to come down to the actual adoption agencies and what they do. I mean,
yes,
how they actually place
that's
the child.
Right. Race matching, the strong preference, or even in some places the requirement for children of a given race to be raised by adults of the same race, that's on the legal defensive. But it is still practiced. I mean, there's a big difference between the law on the books and the law in action. The law on the books puts a real pall, really discourages race matching. But as a matter of policy, race matching is still very prevalent across the United States.
Now, you come out very strongly against race matching.
Yes,
you say this should not be an issue.
That's right.
Why?
For two main reasons. One is just practical. Race matching slows down the process of adoption. It is one more bureaucratic administrative hoop to jump through. Now, the more bureaucratic administrative hoops you've got to jump through, the slower the process is for adopting children. Delay is a danger in and of itself. If you've got a child 6 months old, a year old, 2 years old, 5 years old, delay is a bad thing because these are children that need homes. They need somebody to call mommy and daddy. They need somebody who's going to be responsible for them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So what, they're going to be put in foster care?
They're going to be put on in short-term foster care, bumped around in short-term foster care, or they're going to be put in institutionalized settings, both of which are decidedly inferior to the permanent adoptive settings. Racial minority children are the children that are disproportionately affected by race matching. Let's go back to my home state, Massachusetts. Half the children there that are eligible for adoption are racial minority children. The racial minority population of Massachusetts is maybe 15%. Now, racial minorities do adopt. In fact, with respect to African Americans, they adopt beyond their percentage of the population. But there's always going to be this gap, or at least now, currently, and for the foreseeable future, there will be a gap between the numbers of blacks who are available for adoption and the number of black kids or other racial minority kids who are available for adoption. So the question then becomes, well, what about that gap?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't allow, you know, white people or other people to adopt these children are going to be out in the cold.
Let me shift the discussion to interracial dating and interracial sex. We've been talking about adoption so mm-hmm. far, but is this as loaded an issue as adoption?
I don't think it's quite as loaded an issue. You don't have lawsuits over interracial dating and interracial marriage. Sometimes you have lawsuits. So, for instance, if somebody is fired from their job or if somebody is excluded as a renter or somebody is excluded as a potential buyer of a house because they're in an interracial relationship, that might give rise to a lawsuit. But basically, the legal system no longer throws up impediments to interracial dating or interracial marriage. But is it still controversial? Yes.
Is it more controversial among black people or white people?
Well, probably still more controversial, frankly, among white people. Most white people say now that they don't have a problem with an interracial marriage. But in many places, you know, white people will ostracize other white people who are involved in interracial intimacy. Now, let's talk about black people for a while. Historically, there has been an important segment of the black community that has been hostile toward interracial intimacy, particularly interracial marriage. They were against laws prohibiting interracial marriage because they understood those laws to be against black people. They understood those laws to essentially be saying that black people were so contaminating that white people needed this protection of the state against black people. But black people, or at least a segment of black society, has always viewed with suspicion, even scorn, other blacks who crossed the race line for marriage. Frederick Douglass in 1882 married a white woman. His first wife was a black woman. Frederick Douglass and his first wife had a long marriage. She died, left him a widower. Soon thereafter, he remarried. He remarried a white woman who had been an abolitionist. Well, there were a lot of black people who said Frederick Douglass has betrayed the race.
Why do some black people get angry when blacks marry outside the race?
There are a whole set of reasons why there's this, within some black circles, there's really a reaction against blacks marrying outside the race. And part of it has to do with the feeling that some black people who marry non-blacks, there's a feeling that they are trying to distance themselves from other black people, that they are distancing themselves from blackness, that in a sense, intermarriage becomes a vehicle for assimilation. This is especially true when it's a black man, especially a prominent black man, especially a high-achieving black man who marries a white woman.
Is this going to be his way, his path to success?
Well, maybe his path to success, or insofar as he has become successful, is the white woman serving as, in a sense, the final confirmation of his success, the ultimate trophy. There are a lot of black women who are very resentful of black men because there are many black women who think that black men who marry white women, or at least some black men who marry white women, are showing that they have bought into a system that still privileges whiteness. There's this sense that at least some black men, when they marry white women, are indicating that they think that whiteness is preferable, that they think that white women are more appealing. And so this also is part of the resentment that some black people feel against other blacks who marry whites.
Now, I know one of the questions that you've gotten asked a lot since this book has come out is, who are you married to?
Yeah, no, it is a question. And I've found that people are very hesitant often to ask me that, but I'm glad you did. I'm married to a black woman. You know, I've had many very close white friends, but my wife is black. I think that a lot of people assume that I am married to a white woman because in my book, I take such a strong position against any sort of state-sponsored or any sort of communal impediments to interracial intimacy. One of the reasons why I'm happy that you asked the question is because I think that some people believe that my resistance, in fact, vigorous, passionate attack upon racial impediments to intimacy, a lot of people think, this fellow is just, it's a personal apology. He's just trying to justify his own situation. And, no. For various reasons that I give in my book, I think that racial impediments to intimacy are one of the real tragedies of American life. Lots of love and affection and friendship have been thwarted. These emotions have been thwarted, distorted, stunted by the embarrassment, by the contempt, by the ostracism that has been put upon those who have sought to, show their affection across the race line. And I think that that's terrible.
Randall Kennedy is the author of Interracial Intimacies, Sex, Marriage, Identity, and Adoption. He spoke with Steve Paulson.